Praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, come on. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't it good to be in God's house this morning? Amen. Looks like winter's going to be upon us here. Right? It's getting cold. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you open your Bibles this morning? First of all, to the book of 2 Timothy. We're going to read one verse there. And then we'll be in the book of Genesis, and then in the book of Exodus. You know, it's interesting. The Bible's a complete book. The first verse of the Bible says, "In the beginning, God." At the end of the last book, it says, "The end." Jesus is the first and the last. The beginning and the end. Amen. And so let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, to a very familiar verse to everybody that teaches a home Bible study. You know this verse. You should know this verse. It's in Search for Truth. It's in exploring God's Word. I believe it's also in Light for Living. And that is this. Here's what it says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture. Everybody say all Scriptures. That means Old and New Testament. Did you know that Jesus said, search the Scriptures? It wasn't the New Testament he was talking about. It was the Old Testament. Amen? Search the Scriptures, for they are they that testify of me, Jesus said, and in them you think you have eternal life. All right, you can be seated. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed. Holy men of old spoke as they were. The Scriptures of no private interpretation, but holy men of old spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So the author of the Bible is the Holy Ghost. Now it goes without saying, if you're going to understand the Bible, you got to have the Holy Ghost. It really irritates me when these politicians started quoting the Bible. They ought to talk about somebody they know. They don't know God. You didn't get that. When a politician starts quoting the Bible, he's talking about something he don't know. He may have read something about it. But when you have the Holy Ghost, you have more wisdom than the scholars. The Scriptures are spiritually written. They were breathed by God. They're spiritually inspired. Therefore, they are spiritually discerned. That means to understand. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can't understand the Bible. I don't guess you don't get that, but that's the truth anyway. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to be teaching this morning a very, very simple lesson. When I tell you what my title is, you're going to wonder what that has to do with 2 Timothy 3:16. But hopefully you'll get the picture as time goes on. I'm teaching this morning on Pharaoh's four compromises. Four compromises. These compromises came about as Pharaoh tried to negotiate with God. You can't negotiate with God. You can't bargain with God. Now, God, if you do this, I'll live for you. If you get me this red Camaro IROC, I'll serve you. Boy, I'd like to. I don't want a red one, but I sure would like a cobalt blue one. I'm not kidding there. If I could have any car that's made. Cost, I'd just have a Camaro IROC. Fords, forget them. But I'm telling you the truth. Now we're not selling cars today. Anyway, that would be my preference. And so, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. That means instructions on the way to live right. All right? Sometimes we need to be reproved. In other words, if our thinking is wrong, the thing that's to straighten out our thinking is the Word of God. I think that's why a lot of people don't spend much time reading the Bible. They're afraid of what they're going to find. And I had a guy tell me one time, well, I was talking to him about the Scriptures. Oh, he said, don't tell me that, because God once winked at ignorance. So he thought if he was ignorant of it, he wouldn't be accountable. I said, wait a minute, the rest of that verse says he commands all men everywhere to repent. He used to wink at ignorance, but he don't anymore. So ignorance is not bliss. Just try to tell the policeman when he pulls you over, oh, I didn't know the speed limit was 25 and you're going 65. He's still going to write the ticket. Right? Okay, so Pharaoh's four compromises. Now listen to this. This is a little cliche, but it'll help you understand something. The new is in the old contained, and the old is in the new explained. The New Testament is contained in the Old Testament, but the Old Testament is explained in the New Testament. Are you with me today? God give us... Well, the law was a shadow and a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And so the Lord, He taught about the New Testament plan of salvation in the Old Testament, even though they lived under the law. I'll show you today that the New Testament, new birth, was presented in the Old Testament in the first two books of the Bible in types and shadows. Okay? Now you don't know, we got these digital cameras now. Some of you don't know about a negative. You know, you used to take pictures and you had to go to the drugstore or someplace, and you had the roll of film. Some of them were little rolls, some of them were, and you took it down there and they had to develop it. And when you got the pictures back in the little envelope, there was a little slot and there was a bunch of kind of murky looking things. Those were called negatives. And the reason you had those nice pictures was because of the negative. You couldn't have that nice picture unless you had a negative. Okay? And so the Old Testament was like the negative to the New Testament. And so the New Testament is in the Old Testament contained, and the Old Testament is in the New Testament explained. The New Testament plan of salvation is foreshadowed in several ways and various places in the Old Testament. And one of them today, probably the major one we're going to talk about this morning, is the deliverance from Egypt. The children of Israel's deliverance out of Egypt is the greatest shadow or type of New Testament salvation. In fact, as you read your Bible, if you read it all the way through, you will find constant reminders of the deliverance from Egypt. It's in the Psalms, it's in the prophets. In the New Testament, they talk about the deliverance. Paul talked about it. He taught a whole lesson about it. And so what I'm saying is simply this. And so the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage is probably the most important miracle of the Old Testament. It is mentioned more than anything else on that subject. And so Egypt, when you talk about in Christian circles in the church among religious people, when you talk about Egypt, everybody understands that Egypt represents sin. because they were in bondage to sin. They were slaves to Pharaoh. If you read through the Bible, you'll find out that the children of Israel built several cities for Pharaoh. No doubt built some of the pyramids. They were slaves. They were slave labor, and the construction of those things required, they had no power tools, so they required manpower, and they had to have a lot of people to do it, to get things done. And so, when you read the Bible, when it talks about Egypt, it is always referring to the bondage of sin. Now, some types of salvation in the Old Testament are the Passover. What was the Passover? Well, the Passover was a literal event in which the children of Israel took a lamb, killed it, dipped some hyssop, which was like a little shrub. They dipped that hyssop down in that blood when they killed that lamb. And they went over and smeared it on this side of the door, on the top of the door, and down the side of the door. And it's called the Passover because the Lord said, this night, the angel is going to pass over Egypt, the death angel. And on every house where there is no blood on the door, the firstborn child will die. But the Bible said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. No judgment. In fact, he told them, put the blood on the door. You go inside the house. You eat the Passover with your shoes on, with your clothes on, and your staff in your hand. And you eat it in a hurry because you're leaving Egypt tonight. But you got to stay under the blood until the angel passes over. All right. So the Passover is a type of New Testament salvation because Apostle Paul taught Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. And when John the Baptist first saw Jesus, he introduces Jesus as what? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And so there was a lamb for a house and a lamb for a nation. Okay. Then part of that deliverance from Egypt, which is a symbolic of our deliverance from sin, is the passage of the Red Sea. Now, it's not accidental that it's called the Red Sea. They passed through the Red Sea because that represents the blood of Christ. Blood is red. I don't care if you think you're a keen, you're a blue blood. You're not a blue blood. You got red blood. I can tell that's going right over some people's head. All right. Now, the Bible taught in the New Testament. Now, remember we said the new is in the old contained. And the old is in the new explained. Okay? Paul said, I would have you to know that all of Israel was baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. What did Jesus say? John 3. You must be born again of water and of spirit, or you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. Right? Whenever Israel traveled in the wilderness, what did they do? There was a pillar of cloud that was over them. What is a cloud? It's water vapor. Okay? And all of Israel was baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. New birth, water, spirit. In fact, they were led by the Spirit. The New Testament said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know that Israel traveled in the wilderness for 40 years and they were led by a pillar of a cloud by day. And by nighttime, at nighttime, that pillar of cloud turned to a pillar of fire. Right? Well, didn't John the Baptist say he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire? You see, the Bible is a complete book. It meshes together like highly engineered gears. They don't grind. They don't bang against each other. It clicks. It goes together. All right. And so, think about this. We're talking about some types of salvation in the Old Testament. Let's talk about Noah. Noah built how many arks? One. Oh, Paul said what? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. Okay, right? Now, the deal was God was going to bring judgment upon the earth. Right? And those people were only saved from judgment that were inside the ark. Right? Come on, say amen. It ain't going to hurt. I don't need you to cheer me on. I'm going to teach whether you say amen or not. It don't matter. But the point I'm trying to say is, they didn't build 14 different arks. Why? There's one way to God. People say, oh, you apostolics think you're the only one saved. Well, I'll tell you what. The only ones that are going to be saved is they'll get in the ark. And there's only one ark. So if you want to be saved, you better get in the ark. Okay? We're talked about, we'll get to the compromises in a minute, but I want you to see something. And so that ark, the Lord said, I bring, the imagination of men's heart was evil continual, and the Lord said, I'm going to bring judgment upon this earth. I'm going to destroy everything that has the breath of life in it. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, told him to build an ark. And God gave him the dimensions of it. Did you know that that ark only had one door? One way to God. One way to God. One way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. Hugo's never sang that song. That's old school. But it's still right. Okay. And you know what? That ark that Noah built, it had three floors. Three stories. You know, you can preach about the rapture from Noah's ark. It had one window, and it was in the top. Now, what really makes me mad is I see these books of children's Bible story books. I just want to scream and yell when I see it. It's got a picture of Noah's ark in it, and it's got windows all around the top. That's stupid. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said put a door on the side and a window in the top, not windows all around. That's denominationalism trying to tell you something that's wrong. Now, the ark had three stories, three floors. What does that mean about New Testament salvation? Repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, receiving the Holy Ghost. There's one door. Jesus, John 10:9 says, I am the door. There's no other way to salvation than through Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus said, if anybody tries to be saved any other way, they're like a thief and a robber. So you see, we have to be clear and understand these things are all in the Old Testament. And the flood waters. Now, let's think about this. This might cross your theology, but it's too bad. The flood waters. The flood waters were judgment. What happened when the judgment came? The ark rose above it, raptured. He's not appointed us under wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hello? And so these are Old Testament types and shadows. Now, let's get down to the lessons. The message today that I want to get across to you is found in Exodus 5:3. Now, I had read to you 2 Timothy 3:16 for a purpose. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's God's breathed. And it's profitable for us today. Some people say, well, that old Bible, you read out of the old Bible. It's one Bible. It's one Bible. All right. Now, in the book of Exodus, the fifth chapter and the third verse, you might think I'm rambling this morning. I'm not. I'm just moving along slowly. In Exodus, the fifth chapter and the third verse, let me read it to you. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. The message of deliverance. We're talking about Pharaoh's four compromises. This is talking about the deliverance from Egypt, the deliverance of the nation of Israel from 430 years of bondage in Egypt, which was prophesied. But the message of deliverance is, we will go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness to worship God. The message has always been a 3 days' journey. Some people have tried to reduce it to a 1 day's journey, except Jesus says you're sick. But the message of deliverance is a 3 days' journey. The ark had three floors and one door. The church has one door, and there are three steps to salvation. Repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, and filling of the Holy Ghost. Okay. And the message that Moses delivered to Pharaoh was, we will go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness. We're going to serve God. That 3 days' journey was going to deliver them from bondage to Pharaoh. They were going to go to a promised land. They were. What is the heaven for the Jewish people? The promised land. Amen. They had to enter in by faith, by the way. Okay, now, so the message was back then, what Moses preached to Pharaoh was a very simple message. 3 days' journey. Not 2 days, not 1 day. 3 days. And so, now, let's look at the promise here in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, and the 15th, starting with the 15th verse, or the 12th verse, the 15th chapter, and starting with the 12th verse, the Lord begins to talk to Abraham. Before there's a nation of Israel, the Lord begins to deal with Abraham, and here's what the Lord says to Abraham in Genesis 15, starting with verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come out hither, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Now, this is the Lord calling Abraham before Abram, or his name is Abram. He has no children. And the promise to Abram was he would make out of him a great nation, and through him all the kindreds of the earth would be blessed. And the Lord told Abram before he had any kids or any descendants, your descendants are going to be 400 years. They're going to be strangers in a strange land that is not theirs, and they are going to serve them, and they are going to afflict them. One place it says they treated them shamefully. They made them serve with rigor, with whips, and then chastised the children of Israel, were in sore bondage 400 years. But the Lord said, in the fourth generation, I'm going to take them out, and I'm going to judge that nation that treated them poorly. Okay? That is found in Genesis 15. Now, Joseph, which later on, he was the one that was in charge of Egypt. He was a child of Jacob. He was Jacob's 11th son. Joseph became prime minister of Egypt by the will of God. And when Joseph has brought his whole family, how did Abraham's descendants get into Egypt? Joseph brought them there. 70-some family members went down into Egypt. And Joseph was the prime minister over Egypt. And when he was getting ready to die, in the 50th chapter of the book of Genesis, now, say, well, how does the book of Genesis end? The book of Genesis ends with a coffin in Egypt. And here's what it says, Genesis 50:25. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Abraham, God gives the promise to Abraham, your descendants, I'm going to make you great. Your descendants are going to spend 400 years in a strange land. They're going to be slaves down there. But after 400 years, I'm going to deliver them out, and I'm going to judge that nation that treated them bad. Joseph in Egypt, at the end of his life, he leaves the promise to them. God is surely going to visit you. And I'm so sure, he's saying, I'm so sure that God is going to visit you down here in Egypt, that when you must carry my bones out of Egypt when you leave. We're leaving here. And I don't want to leave me behind. And so he dies in faith. But they embalm him and put him in a coffin in Egypt. All right. And then in Exodus, the third chapter, in the 10th verse, the Lord says this to Moses. This is Moses' commission. Come now, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So Moses is commissioned by God to bring the people out of Egypt. Not preach to them while they're down there and tell them how great they are. No, to bring them out of Egypt. Okay. And so that is the commission to deliver. And the message I already read to you was Exodus 5:3, a 3 days journey. When Moses went before Pharaoh, he said, let my people go a 3 days journey in the wilderness to sacrifice to God. That's what we want. That's what we demand. A 3 days journey into the wilderness. That was the message of deliverance. Now, we're going to talk about the compromises that were offered by Pharaoh. But let me make this real clear. To go to heaven is a 3 days journey. What's the 3 days journey? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a 3 days journey. It can all happen in one evening, but it's a 3 days journey. You can't get there if you skip one. It's like playing Monopoly. Do not pass go. Do not collect $300, $200. Go straight to jail. But God gave a 3 days journey. We cannot abbreviate that. We cannot expand on that. We can't add to that. We can't take away from that. We can't eliminate some because some people don't like it. It's still a 3 days journey. Amen. Now, I hope you're making the connection. I see some blank faces. Now, my lesson this morning is Pharaoh's four compromises. When you compromise, you negotiate. Right? When you go down to Amigo Chevrolet, you want to buy a nice Chevrolet Silverado four-wheel drive truck, and they got a price tag on it of $56,000. It says dealer's recommended price. Right? I think that's about what they are. Right? One that's got everything on it. So you go to get the Ford, Chevrolet, or the Ford, or the Volkswagen, whatever it is. And you go down there and you start to negotiate. And you're trying to negotiate the price down, and they're trying to hold it up. Well, it's got 100,000 miles warranty. It's got this and that, and it's got power steering. But no, did he just go on? And so the negotiation goes on, and eventually you might walk out of there. You might get that vehicle for $40,000 instead of $56,000. It happens, or it might be on sale. And people expect to negotiate. They expect to bargain. If you've ever been to Mexico, I used to go down to Tijuana every once in a while. I'm glad I just visited there. But you go down, they got all these little shops and stores and stuff, and they got these phenomenal prices on everything. Of course, it's in pesos, you know. I think it's 14 pesos to a dollar. But what do? They expect you to negotiate. And they might have a $25 price on it, and you might get it for $10. That's what they wanted to sell it for in the first place. And you negotiate. You try to get the price down. People do that today with salvation. They don't want to pay the full price. There's a price tag on salvation. It's free. No, there's a price tag on it. It's not in dollars and cents, but it's going to cost you everything. And so here we go. Moses appears before Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go a 3 days' journey in the wilderness that they can serve him." And Pharaoh said, "Who is this Lord God?" And blah, 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 blah. So Moses said, "I'll show you who he is." Turns the waters into blood and brings up frogs and flies and lice and hail and all this and that. And so what is he doing? He's showing Pharaoh there ain't no negotiating in this. If you don't let him go, this is what's going to happen. And the Bible says his heart gets hard. And then after a while, after a few judgments have begun to fall upon Pharaoh, Pharaoh begins to negotiate. He tries to talk Moses down. He doesn't want to let the Israelites go because they are his slave labor. They work for free. They build his cities. They tend his crops. They do whatever he wants them to do. He's in charge of them. He doesn't want to let them go. I'm going to tell you, sin doesn't want to let you go. It wants to hold you captive. It wants to keep you in bondage. It wants to make you do things you don't want to do. It wants to make your life miserable. And so, here we are. God said, "I'm going to take them out of there. I'm going to judge that nation after 400 years. I'm going to get you out of there." And now it's time for deliverance. And so, here we go. And so, Pharaoh begins to... Now, Pharaoh is not a man's name. It's not a name. It's a title. Like president. Like king. Like ruler. I think his real name was Astypes, but I can't remember it for sure right now. Didn't want to take the time to look it up. And so, Pharaoh, Moses said, "Let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we can serve our God there." And Pharaoh, after all this trouble comes upon him, he begins to negotiate and offer compromises. And if you'll notice in your Bible, you need to look this up. You need to put your hand on it. We're going to present the four compromises that Pharaoh tried to deal with Moses. And the answer was always no. But Exodus, the 8th chapter, and the 25th verse, Pharaoh says, "And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, 'Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land.'" The first compromise that Pharaoh offered Israel was, you can serve God and still be in bondage. You can serve God and still smoke and drink and cuss and gamble and carouse and ramble around. Just worship God in the land. He wanted to keep them there. He wanted to keep them subjugated. And so he said, "You know, don't be a fanatic. Let's just serve God in the land." Well, listen to what Moses' answer was to that. In verse 27, here's what Moses says. "We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us." Pharaoh said, "Don't go, just do worship God in the land. Don't get your life all changed. Don't make any radical changes. Just stay in the land." Okay? And Moses said, "No, we're going a 3 days' journey. We can't stay in bondage and serve God." You know, it's funny today that modernists, even some neo-Pentecostals, they look at this apostolic New Testament new birth experience as bondage. The Lord said, I'm bringing you out of bondage. I'm bringing you into liberty. All right. So Pharaoh's first compromise. Now he offered it to Israel, and he's offering it today. Now I skipped a deal here. I meant to go back to give you another illustration. Genesis 17, the Lord talks with Abraham and tells him that his descendants, he gives Abraham the token that he's in a contract relationship with God. The token of the testament that God made with Abraham was circumcision. And he said, every male must be circumcised or he has broken my covenant. The uncircumcised man is cut off from my promise. Okay? Think about that. In the New Testament, if you wanted to read in the book of Colossians, it says, the second chapter, but ye are complete in him which is head of all principalities and powers, and whom ye are also circumcised with the circumcision made with hands, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. So the sign that that people were God's children in the Old Testament, they had to be circumcised. In the New Testament, the sign that we're one of God's children is you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. You see, this goes together. And so Pharaoh offers this compromise. He says, well, now, you just worship God. The first compromise is here. You just serve God in the land. You don't have to go out of Egypt. You can stay in Egypt. You can live like you used to live. And you can still be Christian. No, no. And so the second compromise that Pharaoh comes up with is in the 8th chapter and the 28th verse. And notice what he says in 28. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. You can still be a child of God. You know, you can go to church a couple of times a year, no Christmas and Easter, maybe Thanksgiving, and just don't go very far away. Just don't go crazy. Just don't get carried away. Just, you know, don't get out of, just go a little bit out, you know, just... You see what I'm talking about? I don't want to try to apply all that. I think you can do that. Don't go very far away. Don't make any radical changes in your life. Just look like everybody else. Just, you know, go along to get along. Just be like them. Don't make waves. Don't go very far away. That was the second compromise that was offered. Don't go very far away. Now, then the third compromise that Pharaoh offered is in the 10th chapter of Exodus. And here's what he says in verses 8 through 11. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh and said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old and with our sons and with our daughters, and with our flocks and our herds, will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go. This is Pharaoh talking. I'll let you go, and your little ones, look ye to it. Now look at verse 11. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire, and they were driven out of the Pharaoh's presence. Now, first of all, he says, sacrifice in Egypt, that's the first compromise. The second one was, don't go very far away. And the third one is, just the men. Isn't it strange that it says in Acts 2:39, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. There's people that talk, I hear people talk, I just want to scream and pull my hair when I hear them talk. Well, I'm not going to force my kids to go to church. I'm just going to let them make their own decision. When they get old, and I'm not going to force this upon my children. I'm just going to let them choose. That's what Pharaoh said. If you want to serve God, you men, you just serve God, but leave your kids down here in Egypt. I want to tell you something, friend. We got a mandate from God as a Christian, as a New Testament Christian. Every one of us got a mandate from God. And that is we are to train up our children in the way that they should go, that when they're old, they will not depart from it. Did you know, Mom and Dad, you're not supposed to be, you're not supposed to try to be your child's friend. You're supposed to be their parent. You're supposed to show them the right way. You're supposed to lead them the right way. And you're supposed to insist that they do certain things. Somebody said, well, I'm not going to put church standards on my children. You're making a mistake. That's a compromise. I remember one of the, a wonderful person in the church we pastored. She was a tremendous soul winner. She taught home Bible study and all kinds. They had just one son. And she refused to insist that her children, her son, lived up to the standards taught in the church as far as conduct, as far as dress, so forth and so on. She thought she was being unkind and overbearing if she did that. I'm going to tell you, neither she nor her son live for God today. They're lost as can be. And that's a compromise that Pharaoh tried to give. Well, if you want to serve God yourself, if you want to live radical like that, you want to transform your life, you want to change your life, that's fine. You just be gung-ho, you be excited about it, but leave your children down here in Egypt. Moses said, Our old ones and our young ones, our sons and our daughters, we're leaving Egypt. What did Gideon say? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to live for God. We're not going to fool around the edges. We're not going to hang out around here. We're getting out of Egypt. Amen? That was the promise. And so Pharaoh's compromise, you're going to have to apply this yourself. I don't want to waste the time going to all these things. I think you're getting the point. I hope so. Now, and so he said, just the men go. Mom and Dad, you come to church, but, your kids go to the ball game. They're here, they're there, they're doing this, doing that. And it may be church night, but they're down at the Little League Park on Wednesday night Bible study. They don't have to come to Bible study, you know. Just you go, just the men go, just the adults. Are you with me today? Our mandate from God is, John said, I rejoice that my children walk in truth. The thing that thrills me right now is the fact that my daughter and her husband and my three grandchildren, you know what thrills me? They're in the kingdom of God. They're involved in the house of God. They're worshiping. They're praying. They're not just coming to Friday night youth service and having a fun night. No, they're there to serve God. They're there to worship God. They're there to pray and seek God. When they go among the world, they're not ashamed. I'm an apostolic. I've been born again. Water and of spirit. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. We're on our way to heaven. And so Pharaoh said, just the men go. And then the fourth compromise, he says here in the 10th chapter, in the 24th verse, and Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye serve the Lord. Listen to this. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. Well, okay, I'll negotiate. Yeah, your kids can go too, but you leave your possessions behind. We serve the Lord with our whole heart. Everything we got. We're not going to leave our possessions behind. We're going to serve the Lord. And I want you to understand today, just coming to church will not do it. There's going to have to be a transformation. You can come, the devil would say, oh, just go to church every once. Well, that's fine. You're great. No. Can't serve God in the land. We can't be, we got to get far away from this place. We're going to, what are we going to do here? The men and the two women and kids and everything we have, we're going to serve the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want you to know today, the devil would like to bargain with you. He would like to try to get you to not really go wholehearted for the Lord. Just make these little compromises on the way. But it won't get you out of Egypt. It won't get you into the the promised land. It won't get you away from bondage. But when you come to the Lord, then go that 3 days journey, your repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, receiving the Holy Ghost, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're set free to serve the Lord. But beware of compromises along the way. So I said, oh, I can get it for you cheaper. No, you can't. You can't. Visit a deliverance. Serve the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, I don't know. That's awful simple for me teaching this morning. But I felt it of the Lord to bring that before you this morning. Let's go a 3 days journey into the wilderness. Go all the way. We don't want to draw back. We don't want to try to shortcut. We don't want to try to go around. We're going to go through the door, Jesus Christ, and be born again of water and of spirit. Amen, amen, amen. You can stand and turn it back to Brother Ty. But let's watch out for those compromises. They will cheat you. The price will stay the same. Just don't try to negotiate it down, because it will not work.